The BMW Des Moines Guestless shapes up like this. Elliot Clough. How am I doing?
You got it.
Elliot Clough will join us coming up here at 11:30. We will talk Hawks with the Rivals site. Elliot Clough at 11:30. Catch up on the latest. A couple of point guards made their way to Iowa City. One to play for Lisa Bluter, one to play for Fran McCaffrey. We'll get into that football as well as they will play their spring game coming up here on Saturday. So Elliot Clough on the Hawks at 11:30. 12:05, Matt Manasseran from Sports Info Solutions and the 33rd team. We'll talk about the NFL draft. Look forward to that. Round one is 1 week from tonight. So we'll do some draft with Matt Manasseran, and then Iowa State conversation with our friend Bill Seals, also from the Rivals site, put the Cyclone Rivals site, cycloneReport.com for Bill Seals. Get the latest on football, basketball. Is there anything to the rumor that the Big East, Big 12, Iowa State is going to face UConn?
That'd be a big one.
Big one. Back-to-back national championships make their way.
A little bit better than what they had in the non-conference schedule last year.
Ooh, man, that would, wouldn't that be something?
That'd excite the fan base.
Yeah, I don't think so. Now, this is just a rumor at this point. It's going to be somebody. If they match up, you know, where you finished last year, Iowa State was second in the regular season. Mm-hmm. Marquette was second in the, so it might be a Marquette-Iowa State, which certainly doesn't resonate. Like the UConn Huskies making their way to Ames. Wouldn't that be something? But we'll see if that happens. Jamie Pollard did say yesterday when he was with Murph and Andy that the K-State-Iowa State game in Dublin, that it looks as though it's trending towards being a thing. And they hope to be able to make some announcement here in the real soon. So we'll see if that happens. But boy, that would be something if the Clones can get to play their season opener in week zero next year, football-wise, and just a few months prior to that, well, about 10 or so, play the defending champions on the hardwood. Anyways, so that's the BMW Des Moines guest list, Trent's plays of the day, Circus Sports sponsor those. NBA was front and center at the Miller House last night, watched a lot of basketball, has tried to get reacquainted with the pros. Baseball, the Cubs yesterday afternoon, big win. How about Wisniewski and his day?
Yeah.
I mean, gets the phone, doesn't even answer his phone. Matt Mervis's roommate has to come knock on his door at 1 o'clock in the morning, tell him he's got a 5:50 flight. You have to be at the airport in 3.5 hours. You're headed back to the bigs, and what a show he put on yesterday. He shut the door on Arizona for the most part. He was pulled in the ninth inning, but Smiley came in and got the win. So what's going on in your world, Trent Condon?
Hate my Twins.
Yep.
They are a bad baseball team that can't hit the ball.
We're starting to, I'm not giving up on them, but there's problems there, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely.
Even Baldelli's sick and tired of them already. It's not even May.
Get swept by the Orioles.
See, you could see that. That's a pretty good team.
Still getting swept.
Yeah, no, I agree.
If you're a competent team, you don't get swept.
Astros got swept by the Braves.
Yeah, Astros have their own set of issues.
Mm-hmm, they do.
And they also have 7 straight ALCSs.
Well, there's that going
for they have a lot of World Series titles.
There's that.
I'm not going to cry for the Astros. I'm going to cry for my godforsaken team because they suck and they can't hit. You know. And Royce is hurt and Correa's hurt.
And it's just a matter of time before Buxton joins
them. Right. Diving around making plays, but how long is that going to be? It's been a frustrating baseball season. It's led me not to watch as much, and I was with you. I was NBAing last night, entertaining game one.
It was. It was really good.
Up and down in game two.
Yep. Hats off for Philly pulling that game. Here's the thing. Did you think Embiid is close to being 100%? I sure don't.
No, and I know he came back and has played a couple of games at a high level. Oof. But he got banged out in that Sunday game. And
is that what it was?
Yeah, did not. He left, I think, for like a 4-minute stretch. And it wasn't his normal time that he normally come out. He didn't look right at all. And they get it out there. But I was shocked by this. So the series price comes out then last night for them against the Knicks. They're favored.
Philly?
Philly is favored over
the
Knicks.
Love the Knicks.
Yeah. It's like minus 120, minus 106, something like that.
Huh.
I was shocked by that one.
Did you dabble?
Oh, absolutely. Got my another series price. We're getting pretty heavily invested here in this first round of the NBA playoffs and getting some fun futures in there. Got a couple team to win in six. Got the Mavs to win, beat the Clippers in six, things like that. But that was one that I'd like to kind of have an idea. All right, what's this price going to be? I thought it'd be Knicks Knicks would be maybe -125, Sixers +105. No, basically flip-flopped on that one. I don't see it. I really don't. With the way that we saw Embiid last night, the playoff failures of the Sixers, I can't get there.
Maybe Nick Nurse is the answer. Maybe he's the elixir. Maybe he's the turnaround. Who knows? They were good last night. Good last night. And, you know, my takeaway from watching Miami is Jimmy Butler. You know, he didn't have a great night statistically last night, but he's such a leader on that team, Trent. Yeah. He really does. He takes that team and, you know, follow me type of leadership. And every single time he's talking to his teammates and he's trying to, you know, coach them up on the floor. But it was not their night. It was the Sixers. Meanwhile, the Bulls. How about those Bulls moving on in the fashion that they did? Yeah, they really did, didn't they? Including Kobe White, who was out of his mind. Did he play 1 year at North Carolina or two?
I think it was one.
I think he's a one and done or two. I thought he was. And went somewhere. Oh, it was a lottery pick for sure.
Yeah.
But boy, oh boy, what a game he had. What a head of hair he's got, huh?
It's beautiful.
My God. Yeah.
Flopping around out there. We know what a good player DeRozan is.
Yeah, he was great yesterday.
He is just confident, knows the spots, knows where to go. He's got an old man game, you know, more of that mid-range game to him. But he's really, really good. Now, do you give him a shot? Well, I certainly think they can beat the Heat. In a one-and-done scenario, they can win that one. Then you get the Celtics.
Yeah, that's a different animal.
Right.
That's a different animal. We'll see. You know, every time I watch the NBA or get back to the NBA, which, again, I don't watch it all during the regular season. I watch the T-Wolves periodically. Just the athleticism.
Yeah.
It's just...
It's eye-opening.
It really and truly is, isn't it?
How big they are.
Oh, big, and yes.
How much size and, like, the spacing and how much room and all those different things.
And the big guy's just stepping out and hitting a three like you're playing Nerf basketball on your bedroom door.
Yeah.
Right? Just amazing.
It's a completely different level than what we watch throughout the course of the season in college hoops. It is. It's fun.
Now, if I had my choice, I'd much rather watch college hoops, having said what we just said.
Yep.
But the athleticism is just amazing. And these are the best of the best.
They are. And knocking down shots and the pace that they play with it. It's entertaining. I always like this sport, too, because, there's, that guy's there.
Yeah.
Most places probably shouldn't be till April, but, he's there now.
I didn't realize that guy got there. Because you don't see him. But, boy, but when you do and you reacquaint yourself with it and spend a significant portion of the next 2 months as we will watching these games, you just see it night in and night out. All right, let's talk about Greg Doyle for a minute. What did you make of yesterday with Greg Doyle?
Greg Doyle's an idiot.
No, we know that. Yep.
Long-time idiot, an a-hole, a bad person, and tries to say that he's above the fray, right? That he believes he's smarter than everybody else.
And I think that's what he was trying to do yesterday.
He was creepy. He was weird.
Yep.
If you missed it, he took the little heart symbol that Caitlin does to her family after every game, and he did it to her.
Well, he wanted to get it from her.
Well, he did it to her first, though.
Oh, okay.
And then he said...
I hope they I don't know.
Yeah. It's weird.
It was weird. It was totally weird. But I think what he's I think where he's going... And I'm not sticking up for him. It was awful.
No, you shouldn't because he's a bad person.
And for all those reasons that you just said is why he can't do it. But but he's got an edge to his writing, right? He's got very few sacred cows. He'll rip anybody.
Yeah.
And I think that what he was, in his own way, as backwards as it was, trying to make the point was, I hope we really get along. I hope I don't have to, you know, take out my laptop and rip you, Caitlin Clark, during your years. I think that's what he was going for. Mm-hmm. It was awful how it came across.
And he's had a lot of awful moments.
This isn't the first time.
No,
if you're new to Greg Doyle, yesterday was not the first time.
Then the mea culpa to get clicks.
Well, he had to. I think he was probably pressured because,
I clicked on it. It was a terrible column.
I didn't read it.
It was sexist. It was awful.
Was it? The mea culpa was awful?
Yeah. It was garbage. And it's not a surprise. He's a garbage person.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a person that I've had to deal with in
the
past.
What did you deal with him in the past? What's the story there?
He was like a weekly contributor to our show.
Yep.
And he was...
Aloof?
Yeah.
Conceited?
Yes. You name a bad adjective.
Didn't want to be there? Almost like a...
No, I wouldn't say that part of it.
Mailed it in?
No, it wasn't that. He just... He thought he was better than everybody else. And he's not.
No.
No, he's not.
No.
And that arrogance, it's not for me. Those kind of people are not for me. I'm fine with people that write hard,
yep.
talk hard. I'm okay with those kind of things. But to do it and to have the arrogance that goes along with it.
Was he almost belittling?
At times, yeah. 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 And if he tried to disagree, he doesn't know how to make an argument.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just a weird person.
That's true.
He is a very odd duck.
Yep.
And to do that and then to double down, well, I hope I get those from you. You don't do that to Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, no, I know.
You wouldn't do that to Peyton Manning.
No, of course not.
Because he's a creep.
Yeah.
And he's a bad person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the column should have been.
Mm-hmm.
It was excuses. That's what he does. And he still, in the end, felt like he was, in a way, right.
Well, he couldn't win once he did that. I mean, yeah. he was just going to get killed. I mean, she's America's sweetheart. She really is.
Yeah.
Especially in Indianapolis.
Weird.
Oh, she's, yeah. And,
weird, sexist, awful. So
where's he been? He's been all over the place, right?
He was the college basketball writer for CBS Sports for a long mm-hmm. time. That's where I first got to know him. Yeah, that's what he was.
Was he in Chicago or was he in?
Maybe.
I don't remember his stops, but he's had a bunch of them, and he's not well-liked in Indianapolis.
For a columnist, that's okay.
Yes, absolutely.
You don't have to be well-liked. In fact, you probably shouldn't be well-liked.
That's true, too.
As a columnist.
But this was too far. This was too far.
It wasn't even too far. It was a place you should never go.
Uh-huh.
You don't make harp symbol. Can you imagine that?
No.
Jamie Pollard came in and did Murph and Andy. Give him a heart symbol? No, you wouldn't do that.
Well, no.
It's creepy.
Yeah.
It is an awful, sexist, creepy mm-hmm. thing to do. Mm-hmm. I don't care what your thought process was. It was wrong.
Yep.
It was wrong.
No one's arguing that.
And the comeback didn't make it any better. The apology was a fake apology.
Does he survive this?
Yeah.
Did Nike do him a big favor yesterday?
What did Nike do? Oh, with the money?
Yeah. I mean, change the subject. Change Probably. The narrative.
Yeah.
Now it's all about Caitlin Clark's eight-figure deal. Mm-hmm. Not about what the a-hole columnist did at her press conference. I think Nike may have saved him.
Which is great. For Caitlin Clark.
Yeah. Good for Greg Doyle, too.
And she handled it well.
Yeah. Well, she's so good.
She is.
She really, I wonder if she was coached.
You would think at this point there's probably
uh-huh.
been some media conversations, doing those kind right. of things, talking to the different agencies that are out there. Yeah. I'm sure.
Would Nike have? Because here's the other thing. This Nike thing just didn't happen yesterday.
Right, yeah.
Not about this for a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've been saying for a year, is the shoe going to be released before back to school?
Right.
Or at Christmas?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're old enough to remember the Cabbage Patch doll craze and how tough it was to get, this is going to surpass that in a lot of homes.
It's going to be nuts.
It's going to be bonkers. Going to be bonkers.
You do it. Before the Olympics?
Well, but she's not on the team.
She has to be on the
agree.
Team.
I totally agree.
They can't screw this up.
But.
They can't screw this up.
I am with you. She missed training camp.
Okay.
Yeah, but she had an excuse.
She was playing.
Well, for that national championship that just happened to get in the way.
She was playing. She's got a pretty good excuse.
Yes.
You have to put her on there.
I agree.
It's about growing the sport.
There's no question.
They're still head and shoulders above everybody else. Your 12th player is not going to make an impact.
No.
It's not going to be the difference between a gold and a silver.
No.
You have to have her on there for your growth of your sport.
Uh-huh.
If they don't, I won't be surprised by it.
No, nor will I.
Because
nor will I.
They can find ways to screw a lot of things up.
Yep.
This is one that absolutely has to be done for the betterment of your sport.
Mm-hmm.
Even if she doesn't play.
But she will.
She will. Yeah.
She will. I mean, she'll earn her spot. Anxious to see how she's received when the regular season comes around, because she's never played a game and she's already got a shoe deal.
You notice going back to the SNL clip, two of the players she didn't mention?
Yeah, I did. Taurasi was one of them. Who was the other? Brown Stewart?
Brianna Stewart.
Was it?
Yeah. They had her foot in her mouth.
But she didn't write it, though, did she? She's not.
No.
She
was talking about it. I think she was on the Sue Bird and Taurasi show, the simulcast that they do, the main cast that they did. And I think she was on there. You played with eight McDonald's All-Americans.
Right.
It just.
Flip the scripts. Put Caitlin Clark on UConn in those days. And
yes.
You come over here and you play for Bluter.
Yeah.
And see how that goes.
I don't know if there'd be back-to-back national championship games.
I don't think there would be.
Yeah.
I don't think
and she's
there
an incredible
be.
Talent.
She is.
She's a great player.
Yep.
It's just simpleton thinking.
Yep.
It doesn't understand big picture.
Did you hear what Don Staley said yesterday?
What's that?
Who she credited for with the uptick? Not the uptick. The meteoric rise in women's college basketball. You know who she gave the credit to?
Who?
Caitlin Clark.
Oh yeah, just like she did after they just won a national championship.
Don Staley said, "Don't overthink this.
Yes,
don't overthink it. There's one reason that that the women's sports are on the meteoric rise that they are. Now let's get the salaries. And the salaries will come.
It will.
Not to probably
money
to the
is extent, there.
Not like you're not going to get Wembanyama type of money. And yes, the NBA does have to fund a lot of the W, but those days are about to, certainly not to the extent that they had to. They're going to be able to stand on their own. Most franchises, maybe not everyone.
But if we get to a point where the TV money starts to catch up, we get to that level, the salaries will increase.
Absolutely will.
That's the way that this works. It's something that absolutely boggles my mind. Well, they should be paid equal. No, revenue's not equal.
They're not.
You can't not play close. That game.
Yeah.
This is not Title IX.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what this is.
Mm-hmm. Can they get to that point? I think they can get close. I do. We just watched the women's tournament outdraw them in by 5 million people.
Yes. And if this ascension continues, and it continues in the WNBA, they can get there.
What is the NBA draft draw? Any idea?
Oh, no clue.
I don't either.
Yeah. $2-3 million.
I know that that this Monday's draft was up 327%.
Outdrew
everything.
MLB.
Yes.
NHL draft. Those are numbers. Not NFL draft.
No, I mean, that's king football.
It is. That's a level upon itself. But pretty good. That's a good one. You have to look what the NBA draft did last year. And what it's going to do this year? Not a very good draft.
It's not a very good draft.
Is the WNBA draft going to outdraw the NBA draft?
We will see. All right, Miller and Condon, we've got a bonus bet coming up for you as well. We'll do that in about, less than 10 minutes. We'll get to that, give you an opportunity to win $1,000. Bonus bucks, you've got an opportunity this hour, another one next hour, and then throughout the afternoon with Murph and Andy and the Drive with Heather and Sean as they take you until 6 o'clock. Good talk some Hawks with Alia Clough coming up here at 11:30. Get into the Hawks. They've got a new point guard for the women. They've got a new point guard for the men. Get Trent's thoughts on both of those. Let's start with Threlwell because he was first. We never even touched on it yesterday.
Well, it was crazy that, okay, he commits, fine.
And boom, the announcement comes.
Yeah.
Right,
he signed, and away they go.
So, what do you think? And how much of Harding's playing time does he take?
I think it's a coin flip right now. Who's the starter?
Okay.
I really do. I think both of those guys are very different in the way that they play. But a guy played on a good Morehead State team, played on two NCAA tournament teams,
just played Illinois 3 weeks ago,
averaged six assists a game. It's exactly the kind of fit that they need because they still want to see, can Brock Harding, I think, compete at this level?
What did he win at the banquet the other day?
The only one that I saw was Patrick McCaffrey in the Chris Street.
He was given something. It was an offensive player of the year, but it's like, really?
Yeah, those awards.
No, I'm with you. Yeah. I'm with you, but it just, I guess you have to give it to somebody.
Right. Patrick McCaffrey did not exemplify Chris Street's qualities to me, but that aside, I do not vote on the award.
Right.
But with Threlwell, he is a guy, not a great shooter, kind of got a standstill kind of shot from the top of the key. He's a guy that can get to the rim, though, get to the paint, and that's where he is at his best. That's something that I think coupled with Harding, that 1-2 punch at the point guard, already got something there. Which one of them plays 25 minutes, which one plays 15, we'll see, but I think that's kind of the way that it's going to play out here. But it's perfect. They had no depth at the point guard position. Josh Dix is not a point guard.
No, he's not. And I don't want, nobody should try to force him to be a point guard.
Tony Perkins wasn't a point guard.
Right.
He was a backup in a pinch, and he had a couple of good games and a couple of double digits assist games, but he's not a prototypical point guard that you're looking for. This is what you're getting with Threlwell. He is exactly what you're looking for in that role. We'll see how it plays out, but they had to have this. You can't go into a season with, oh, we got Dix and maybe Price Sanford can't be a point guard.
No.
I've continued to hear this. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. He didn't handle the ball in high school.
No.
He had two guards. Yeah. And Kelderman, who's up at Iowa State as a walk-on right now, those were the guys that handled the ball. That was not his game. But we've seen that a lot. Fran trying to get that round peg into the square hole. Now you don't have to do that. You actually have two point guards on the roster. They're going to look at a big, if it was me, the kid from Central Arkansas that they were also looking at, looks like they were just taking one guard. If they both want to come, I'd take them both.
How about the kid from St. Mary's, Mahaney or something?
Yeah.
I mean, he's pie in the sky. I get it. But, boy, he's a good player.
There's no doubt. They're looking at a big. That's what they also want to add here to the portal. If Sanford comes back, if Peyton comes back for his final season, are they a tournament team? Are they back at least on the fringes?
Yes. Look, they were on the fringes this year, and we thought they were going to be garbage.
Right. And they were so much better than we thought they were going to be, certainly coming into the season. I think they'll get there. I think they're going to be right there. But without Sanford, that conversation completely changes.
Where did I see Andy Katz pick them? Second to last in the
17th.
Conference. 17th.
Remember, 18 teams.
Who was behind him? Was it UCLA was last?
No, it wouldn't have been UCLA.
It was some team that surprised me that they were last.
Maybe Washington. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't remember. But I do know where, 17th out of 18. The world, she has changed. All right, Lucy Olson. She is a Hawkeye. Mm-hmm. She's the third leading scorer. So it was Caitlin Clark. That had to be Juju second, right?
I think so.
You had to be her second.
Yeah.
And then Lucy Olson was the third highest scorer in women's college basketball last year. She has huge shoes to fill. I hope nobody is expecting her to be number 22 because that won't be the case. She's got 1 year of eligibility left. But hats off to the Swarm Collective.
Mm-hmm.
Hats off to Lisa Bluter because what Iowa women's basketball has is an opportunity to keep that momentum going, right? And if you're a team that falls back to the middle of the pack or not obscurity, but is nowhere even close to the buzz from this year, then it's hard to keep those folks for the for any length of time. I'm thinking Lucy Olson's got an opportunity to do that.
The thing that I really enjoy, too, about this is I always had a bunch of different type of guards. She's not going to replicate Caitlin Clark.
No, she can't. She shouldn't even try.
She is not that kind of perimeter shooter. That's not what she is. She is more of a mid-range type of player. Well, boy, they're going to have to completely change what they do offensively. Well, they've done that. They've done that through 25 years of Lisa Bluter. They've adjusted to what they have. One of the reasons that I so much respect her and that staff as coaches is because they're not, this is our system.
Mm-hmm.
You had Meg Augustus,
right.
Made her National Player of the Year.
Yep.
Caitlin Clark, all right, we have a once-in-a-generation star. We're going to change what we do. When they had Crystal Smith, who was lightning quick, incredibly fast, they played completely different than they did with Akira Consuega. Sam Logic, who was drafted in the WNBA, she was a completely different point guard.
You're making my head spin. These names are all new to me.
But they were all different type of point guards, different, and they adjusted the system to it. It's going to look different. I don't think they're going to play at the same kind of pace. But when you add a player like this that has a different type of game, a mid-range game, getting to the rim, those kind of things, you're going to be able to adjust. You got shooters on the outside. You're going to see a whole lot more McCabe. You're going to see a whole lot more, potentially, maybe Hayden, the freshman, 6'4", coming in, her playing with Stolke together. They're going to be built differently, but you have to be excited about it because throughout 25 years, Lisa Bluter's showing an ability that she is going to adjust to what they have. And you put Olsen in the mix, not just as a tournament team, I think this is a team, second weekend, I think that's a realistic scenario that this team's, again, going to be at least a Sweet 16 team.
There's going to be a drop-off, one would anticipate. I mean, they've been to the championship game the last 2 years.
Right.
But I think that this went a long way to keeping some of that momentum that they have built up over the last few years, certainly headed in a positive direction. One more on women's basketball. Haley Van Lith is a Horned Frog. She's headed to TCU.
Weird.
I guess money talks.
They're an Adidas school.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I would guess that's probably the connection.
Yeah, probably so.
Because that's been her. Well, now that I think of it, TCU, are they Adidas school?
I don't know the answer to that.
But she went to a non-Adidas school. She went to LSU, obviously a big Nike school, and it worked out okay there. Yet kept her endorsement deal with Adidas. But TCU, I thought she was destined to head back home, go back to Washington. TCU, what a weird season they had. Remember, they were 14-0. They had to ask for students just to try out because of all the injuries that they had. Just a wild season. TCU. Well, we'll get to see her a couple of times. That's a good thing.
We will. All right, we'll take a time out. Before we do that, we're going to talk more Hawks coming up here with Ali Aklough. He will join us on the other side, part of the Rivals Network over at Iowa. Hour number two, Matt Manasseran on the draft, and Bill Seals, more Iowa State conversation. I wonder if Bill Seals got any intel on the Big East opponent. Wouldn't it be something, Trent? I mean, what's the chances, the likelihood?
I'd say pretty high.
50-50?
Well, yeah.
I mean, we know that they're going to play a Big East opponent. They're going to, I would think, find some team that, this is a preseason top, certainly 10, certainly a lot of 5, but you're not going to put them against Georgetown.
Well, we had Kansas played last year, UConn. That was down in Lawrence. So you're probably not going to do a rematch there.
Yeah.
I mean, Arizona would probably be the only other school.
UConn came, they were in Lawrence last year. So does UConn think they get a home, deserve a home game?
Well, that could be a possibility, too.
Yeah, you just threw all cold water all over
this. Well, I'm sorry. I'm just...
Yeah, you're killing me. I wanted UConn to make their way. But you know what? I think you're probably right now that you mentioned that. UConn traveled last year.
Right.
Iowa State travels a lot of times, too, to these SEC Big 12 challenges. We'll see. Maybe the dream's still alive.
Marquette, Creighton.
Creighton, isn't that usually their double secret probation, top secret scrimmage?
Right?
Don't they usually play
times,
Creighton or Nebraska
yep.
in those? McDermott coming back.
Yeah. It's not the same as UConn.
It's not.
They're going to put UConn on the road back-to-back. Well, Hurley, if it happens, Hurley will use that as motivation.
Oh, that's a good point, Trent.
Ah, look at what they're trying to
do. Maybe he's asking for it in a roundabout way. All right, let's do it, Trent Condon. Cash at KXNO.com. Your chance to win $1,000 in cash at KXNO.com. Miller Condon underway on a Thursday. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Welcome back. 25 minutes before noon. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. 12:05, we'll talk to Matt Manasseran, Sports Info Solutions, and the 33rd team. He's a former NFL scout for the Browns and the Saints. He's been in those war rooms. We will talk to Matt Manasseran, draft 1 week, opening night of the draft anyways, 1 week from tonight. And then Bill Seals. From CycloneReport.com, part of the Rivals Network, as we really mine those Rivals networking opportunities here today. Elliot Kluft joins us. Go Iowa Awesome, part of the Rivals Network. It's the Hawkeye site. Elliot, Trent, and Ken, how are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. A lot of ground to cover with you, and thanks for coming on. We appreciate it. Let's start with the ladies first, and Lucy Olson is a Hawkeye. Big get for Lisa Bluter. Got to keep that momentum building, if possible. Certainly maintain, at the very least, and bringing in the nation's third leading scorer from last year. She's not Caitlin Clark. I hope she doesn't try to be. I don't think she will. But this is a good get for Bluter's bunch.
Oh yeah, this is a massive get for Iowa women's basketball, and you have to think that not only the success of the team in March and all the things that Caitlin did over her career at Iowa was able to convey to Lucy that this was going to be an awesome opportunity for her, but to see Caitlin go number one and then to see Kate Martin get drafted in the WNBA draft the other night, you have to think that was like, oh, okay, noted. On all of that, she's one of the best scorers in the country. She can. She's, like you said, she's not going to be Caitlin Clark. You presume she's not going to try to be Caitlin Clark. But to add that level of production after you lose that level of production is huge for this Iowa women's basketball team. And, you know, expectations aren't going to be as high as maybe they would have been if Caitlin decided to stick around for another year. But getting that type of player into that spot, into that point guard spot, and after losing Molly Davis and Gabby Marshall, to add to that backcourt, man, that's just huge.
So Olson adds the fray. What have you seen from her? One thing I saw, a shot chart, she can knock down a three-pointer, but she is more kind of a mid-range type of player. Kind of what that means and her as a point guard, what that means and how they're going to play next season.
Right. That's a big question, Trent. You have to factor in the freshman that they're bringing in too. Obviously, Aaliyah Guyton coming off an ACL injury and Kenise having an injury as well. So that's going to affect how things shake out, but they've got the three freshmen, Ava Hayden, as well as the other. Ava Hayden going to be a post that's going to play quite a bit. You at least imagine so, being 6'4 and stepping in right away. And then, of course, Hannah Stolke back, Sydnia Folter back. So this roster is going to have some talent on it, but they're going to mix things up. They're to put it lightly, they're not the football staff. When the things change personnel-wise, they change. So, I mean, you saw what Lisa Bluter did in the tournament. They lost Molly Davis, another primary ball handler. So they changed things up, right? And obviously they lost Monica Sinano from last season's team, so they changed going into this season. Things will be different. They're not going to be the exact same, though Lucy can shoot the three ball, like you said, and like we've both said. She's not Caitlin. So things are going to be different next season. But Lisa Bluter has shown that she can take different situations and still be a phenomenal coach. She makes adjustments, and that's what shows that she's a phenomenal coach. She's willing to make those adjustments, and she does well at it when she does.
Elliot, every game was sold out last year. What's a realistic average attendance next year in your mind? I mean, I think it would be probably a long shot that they duplicate what they did, but I don't, especially now, I mean, I think that that's a huge feather in their cap and a huge signal to the fan base that, you know what, we're still going to be here and we're still going to contend for Big Ten championships and we're not going away. What's realistic number, 12,000, 10,000? Where would you put it?
Sure. So, selling out, I'm sure they'll do that on occasion.
Sure.
This season.
Yep.
They'll play the Ohio States of the world. They'll play some of the better teams in the country. Indiana, of course. So that'll happen on occasion. But you have to think. I mean, it's what people have said over and over again about Caitlin Clark, right? She's one of one, and she is one of one. So expecting to sell out the entire season would be a stretch. But I'd probably say 80%. Maybe 80 to 90% of what we've seen these last few years, and they'll still do well on the road too. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be the Caitlin Clark effect because she is in her own she's in her own category. Mm-hmm. You have to think that they're going to be a great show, that they're going to do well still with the fan base. But I'd probably say 80 to 90%. Do you guys think that's fair?
Yeah, we're trying to probably 80%, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you average over 10,000, mm-hmm. in that 11
range. And there
range.
Will be sellouts, as you said, Elliot, mm-hmm. don't you think, Trent?
Yeah, a couple big games. Yep. I mean, USC and Juju are coming to town.
Yeah, that's
that too.
Yeah.
I should have mentioned that. That's my bad.
We get those kind of possibilities. Ohio State comes to town, things like that. Mm-hmm. Definitely, I think we're going to see some sellouts.
Where's Cy-Hawk next year? Is it back over? Where was it this year?
I don't even remember.
It was here. It was in Ames, wasn't it? Jesus.
The men's game was in Ames.
I think they both were. I think they both were.
Do they? Okay.
Yeah. I think
I'm
so.
I'm the men's beat writer for the site. So.
No, I'm with you. I'm just but that'll sell out, I would assume, because Fenley's got a really good team. Mm-hmm. And going up against, that should sell out. So I would think the 11,000, somewhere in there.
Let's go to the men's team. Not sure how many sellouts we'll see there, maybe outside of the game.
How many were there this year? They started to pick up at the end.
Yeah, but not a whole lot of motivation.
Yeah,
now,
true.
They bring in Thelwell, and your thoughts on him. We got Brock Harding there. A lot of people want to see him as a starting point guard. Your thoughts just as Thelwell as a prospect and how the point guard position is going to look next season for Iowa.
This is a good ad. I actually talked with Drew yesterday after he made his decision. Really good kid. I think he's going to fit the culture really well. First off, their pitch to him was that they need a point guard. They need a leader. They need a guy who's mature. And not that Brock isn't those things, but he's just a sophomore. He's only played one full season of college basketball. And I think the ceiling continues to grow for Brock. I think he is – I really do think the world of Brock. I think they're going to complement each other really well, though. I mean, Drew has won all 4 years that he was at Morehead State. He went to the NCAA tournament as a freshman and this last season where they gave Illinois hell in the first mm-hmm. round. Of course, Illinois pulled away because that's a really good basketball team. But they did give him a good run. In that first round as a 14 seed. But Drew is a guy who really orchestrated the offense for the Eagles last season. 6.2 assists per game, which was 15th in the country. He finished with the 18th most assists in the country as well last season. So he's a guy that moves the ball. That's going to fit in well, really well, with Fran's offense. He can score. He's not going to be an elite scorer at just 10 points a game this last season. I think it was around 3 or 4 rebounds per game. But he's going to help the offense. Is he going to be the star? No. But he's going to come in and he's going to be great for the culture. He's going to be a guy who can lead on and off the floor. He's going to complement Brock really well. And here's the thing. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with the long list of interest that Iowa showed in point guards in the portal, but it was a lot of guys who are undersized like Brock. Brock's just 5'11", 6 feet tall, and Thelwell's 6'3".
Yeah.
So he adds a little bit of that size, which is going to help defensively. Also, the three-point shot wasn't the free throw wasn't a great percentage last season. Just 64% from the free throw line, 33% from three. But he did have a wrist injury. And the year prior, he was shooting 73% from the free throw line and 38% from three. So those numbers not super indicative of what he's capable of. But the assist, I think that's massive for what Iowa wants to do. He does a lot of his scoring around the rim, so he's going to collapse the defense. He's going to find Owen Freeman on the pick and roll. He's going to find, assuming Peyton Stanford comes back, mm-hmm. he's going to find Josh Dix on the perimeter for open jump shots. So this was a great ad. Was it a huge splash of an ad? No, but it's gonna help this Hawkeyes team next season.
No, I think it fits like a glove. I'm with you. What else is McCaffrey looking at? Somebody I would think to take play Ben Kricke's role next year.
Yeah, so I'll tell you what, the staff is keeping things really tight to the vest right now in terms of who they're showing interest in the portal, just because, you know, they don't want other schools to swoop in, of course, right? But I did see that they were looking at John, I think it's Tonjay,
yeah,
of Missouri.
Right.
Iowa State is showing interest in him as well.
He missed a lot of the season injured, right? Not the kid?
He did.
Yeah.
Yep. I believe he only played in 8 games for Missouri last season. But maybe a bit of a trade going on for Tony Perkins.
okay.
He's a 6'5", 6'6" wing that they may bring in, and that'll add some depth to that wing spot, and of course add some versatility in terms of what they want to do lineup wise. But you have to imagine they're going to go in and try to get another power forward or center out of the portal to help depth there. We've seen what we've seen from Riley Mulvey and Evan Braun, mm-hmm. so. We'll see what that depth looks like at center, but you have to imagine that they're going to want to go and get a power forward. You can play a little bit of 4 and 5, maybe like another Lajee Dembele that you can trust in terms of bringing in some athleticism. You can score around the rim. You can defend the rim, something like that. That's really what you want. And they do have 2 scholarships open now. So if they can get a guy like Tonjay, if they can get a power forward to fill that spot and really bring some versatility in the front court, that would help a lot.
You know, we hear a lot about the Swarm Collective and that Iowa, at least on the men's basketball front, not as well-equipped as many programs out there. Do you believe it's dire? I mean, you see Thiltwell very quickly make his commitment there. There's circles or at least corners of the internet that believe that Iowa is so far behind. How big is that gap between them and, say, the mid-range of kind of the power structure of college basketball?
Oh, well, you know, I don't know an exact number. I'll start with that, Trent. I don't know an exact number, but I can tell you that this Tony Perkins situation was telling, right? Because that number that Fran brought up, 500,000, I can verify that an offer was very close to that amount of money from another school that wanted him in the country. And Tony was in a position to take advantage of that, right? Like, this is a scenario where he's in his final year of eligibility. Go get paid, dude. Mm-hmm. Like it makes sense. And Iowa's just not equipped to match that type of money. They're just not. They're a Big Ten school, right? They have that edge over these mid-major programs. And that's, I think the way they've targeted things, you know, other than this Missouri target, of course, they've gone on after a lot of mid-major guys. And that's the way it was last year with Ben Kricke and Evan Braun, too. And I think that's ultimately telling of where they're at. Sure, they want a culture fit. Sure, they want guys that are going to fit on the roster. But money, it's not as plentiful as it is for the football side of things, right? It's not as plentiful as it is at some schools like Missouri, like these blue bloods, like Kansas, like UNC, where folks are shelling out the cash to keep the school of blue blood, right? So I wouldn't call it dire, mm-hmm. but they're not in an ideal situation money wise. Let's say that.
What do you think that you'll see Saturday at the spring football, whatever they're calling it, game practice, open practice? What do you think you're going to see on Saturday morning?
Well, I can tell you a few things I'm looking forward to, and that's to see how different the offense is. I think everybody's going to be watching that, right? We're going to be watching for RPOs, post snap reads by the quarterback, and if it's going to be Deacon Hill or Marco Linez taking those snaps, because that depth spot at the for the quarterback is one of if not the number one question, because Cade McNamara has been hurt the last 2-3 seasons, right? Like, inevitably, it's unfortunately, but inevitably, it feels like we're going to see a different quarterback other than Cade McNamara at some point this season. You know, God forbid that an injury does happen, but it has been the trend. So is it Deacon Hill? Is it Marco Linez? Is it a situation where we see what we see on Saturday and everybody's still clamoring to grab a quarterback out of the transfer portal when they're 4 over on the scholarship mm-hmm. number? And then, of course, you know, honestly, I think we're all in a situation where, considering how good defense is and has been, that's like not a storyline at all. It's all about the offense. It's all about who we see in the rotation with the running backs. T.J. Washington, he's been taking snaps at running back and at receiver. How much is Caleb Brown going to touch the ball? What's Dayton Howard and Jerry Abui look like? Is the offensive line, though they have so many guys coming back, are they going to get any push on this defensive line? And again, we're at a scenario where folks are going to read into a lot what they see on Saturday, like we do every year, but don't take what we see in the spring and think it's automatically going to apply to the fall. There are still moves to be made in the transfer portal. There are still additions to be made. So we'll see. We'll see how things shake out. It's the offense, right? That's the number one thing we're all watching.
Final minute with you, Elliot. You mentioned the transfer portal, backup quarterback, wide receiver, kind of need positions there. How active has Iowa been? Is this going to be maybe a little bit more of a wait-and-see approach here as soon as they get through Saturday? What are you hearing on the recruiting front?
Right. It's just got to be a wait-and-see just because they are strapped for scholarships right now. We've got to see if guys enter the portal after Saturday, if they see the writing on the wall, oh, I didn't get the snaps I wanted to, I think this is telling. If this is a situation where the staff feels the need to medical a couple guys or to tell them to move on, which isn't that latter thing, isn't Iowa's MO, but when you're in a situation where you're strapped for scholarships, you got to go get some talent. Maybe things change, right? So Iowa's got to go out. I think they've got to look for a quarterback. They've got to look for a receiver. And if you can get a left tackle, man, I mean, losing Caden Proctor, even though you had him for about 20 minutes, hurts. And Mason Richmond just flat out hasn't been good enough at that left tackle spot. So if you can go out and get a left tackle, you add a left tackle as well. And don't forget, obviously we're not positive where the scholarship situation is going to be, but defensive tackle depth is a question mark going into this season too. And that's a position that they like to rotate. They like to have 8 defensive linemen that could play at each of those respective spots. And though Aaron Graves and Y.A. Black are awesome, and of course you've got Jeremiah Pittman in there, Luke Gaffney's in that 4th spot, if you can add some depth at the defensive tackle spot, you go get it.
Yep, can't have enough of them. I totally agree with you. Elliot Clough, Go Iowa Awesome, part of the Rivals Network. Elliot, thanks for jumping on. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you down the road. Thank you, Elliot.
Definitely. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Go Iowa Awesome. Elliot Clough joins us as we talk Hawks. All right, it's 10 before noon. We'll come back, wrap up hour number one. Hour number two, NFL Draft and Iowa State Conversation. Bottom of the hour, Trent's Plays of the Day. Circus Sports Sponsors, Miller and Condon. Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Were they the Chicago Transit Authority for this song or just Chicago?
I believe just Chicago. At least that's the way that it's listed here.
Do you remember the fact that they were?
Oh, absolutely.
Chicago Transit Authority.
Chicago, one of my dad's bands.
Oh, I love this band.
Yeah,
feeling stronger every day.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I have some good tunes. We never talked yesterday about it. The USA named their men's basketball team to the 12 mm-hmm. players that will make up the roster. It's not the dream team, but it's pretty good.
It is. Is there a concern a little too old?
Well, LeBron. Yeah. Kawhi Leonard's not getting any younger.
Uh-huh.
Who else is old on that team?
Let's see. I got the list here.
Adebayo, Bale, Curry, Davis. Kevin Durant got some age to him.
Yes, he does.
Anthony Edwards, Joel Embiid, Halliburton. How about Halliburton? That's awesome. Did you see Grant Hill showed up to surprise him?
No, I didn't.
He thought he was being brought into a room to watch film, as they call it, tape. And then Grant Hill walks around the corner with his jersey and an official welcome to USA Men's Basketball.
That's Olympic. Awesome.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. Jrue Holiday, LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, and Jason Tatum. That's a pretty good group.
Got some gimpy players. Embiid?
For sure.
Durant?
Yep.
AD?
Yep.
LeBron's just old.
Kawhi Leonard takes two. He'll play every other game.
Tyrese has been banged up himself for the last 2 months.
Yeah, but he'll be ready for this, I think.
You ready?
I hope.
Has he got a playoff series win in front of him?
Does he?
This was one where initially I was like, I'm going to grab the Pacers.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to be holding a tick, and all of a sudden game three, here comes Giannis. And they turn it on.
It changes things.
Speaking of Halliburton, though, I found a fun prop on FanDuel for him, and I played this one.
For the playoffs?
For the playoffs, for the first round.
Okay.
In their series against the Bucks, where...
It's got to be an assist turnover prop.
No, it's a scoring prop.
Really?
Because he's going up against Dame, who's an awful defender. 20 or more points in every game. 8 to one.
Every game.
Every game.
Boy, that's a heavy lift.
Fun one to root for, though.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And he's got a
and
bad
8
defender.
To 1. Where'd you find that,
FanDuel? FanDuel. It was worth a little wager.
I like the price. 8 to 1. Can't beat that. We can, but that's pretty good.
It's good.
All right, it's noon. We'll take a quick time out. We'll come back. We'll talk NFL draft with Matt Manasseran, our guy on the draft. Bill Seals on Iowa State. Trent's plays of the day.
5-1 yesterday.
Attaboy. Circus Sports sponsors. Hour 2 next.